This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to the Gus Bradley Show from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Well into preparations for the Oakland Raiders this week, and obviously, Coach, this week, again, you just can't get away from the story of the quarterback, can you? This week, Gabbert's hand lacerated, so Chad Henne gets the start.
Yeah, you know what? It's unfortunate with Blaine's injury. Kind of a freak deal where the helmet of a Kansas City player hit his hand and ripped it open. Pretty severe, obviously. But, you know, Chad's had a good week of practice. I thought he had a good practice yesterday, a really good practice today. So, we hope to take those efforts on to Oakland.
Well, here's the crazy thing. You read the headlines from NFL.com and other websites. It says Gus Bradley wants, you know, Chad Henne to win starting job. He wants him to, what was the quote exactly? Because I wrote it down, to capture this. And somehow they interpreted that into meaning you want him to win starting job.
No, you know what? They asked me, you know, what happens if Chad Henne goes to Oakland and does really well? And I said, well, that would be a good thing.
It would be a good thing.
You know, that'd be a good thing. So we do want Chad to capture this. He's worked extremely hard, taken a lot of reps for this situation. And, our team has a lot of faith in him, and I do hope he captures it.
He's a guy with 37 starts under his belt, Miami, and obviously he was here last year and started six games. You know, what does he give you, Coach, as a backup quarterback?
Well, I think those two have really worked well together. He's been very good for Blaine, just his experience and, how he sees the game evolve and the defense and how he reads certain things. And I think they really have a good relationship. And now they have just flipped roles until Blaine gets healthy. And now Blaine is talking to Chad, and they're working together like that. So they're really pulled for each other. And, but Chad's done a nice job. The team really respects Chad. And, I know they'll rally around him.
How much do you tailor the offense for a Chad Henne as compared to Blaine Gabbert? Because obviously two guys do better things in different ways.
Right. I think that's our job as a coaching staff, to understand their strengths and put them in position where they have a chance to be successful. But that's with everybody. I mean, Cecil, we got to get him in position because he is a real good player, to best utilize his talent. So you'll see some things, that will change, but, and other things will be, probably staying the same.
It is a challenge to get better week to week when you wait for guys to be healthy enough to get in your lineup, isn't it? I mean, you're still waiting on Mercedes. Obviously, you won't have Justin back for a month. You've been practicing a bit without your guards this week. I mean, getting better is a much more difficult thing to do without your best players on the field, isn't it?
It is, but, there's some benefits of it. Now some younger guys are getting some reps. And, like we said last week, with a guy like Stephen Burton or Brewster, Mike Brewster, guys like that are getting multiple reps. So when we do get everybody back and healthy, we'll be that much better as a team.
The wide receivers this week, Ace Sanders getting an opportunity to go against his cousin, which is kind of interesting, Mike Jenkins. Your impressions of Ace in that first game, his first NFL start?
Well, Ace was really excited. You could tell before the game, the day before the game, he was excited for his opportunity. And he did some good things. I know he dropped that one ball where he was open. But, those things can happen. And I think the game has become smaller for Ace because he played that now in that game. And I think you'll see that with some of our younger guys, that they'll get a chance to play now. The more and more they play, the more comfort level they have. And they'll realize, catching the ball is the same thing he did in college. And you'll be surprised. A lot of these guys, they may go back to their college games and watch their highlight tapes and things like that to say, you know what, it really isn't any different as far as that's concerned.
I know Jeff knows exactly what you're talking about, and I do as well, but maybe some of our listeners don't. You on Monday referred to, the game being big. The game being small was what you just said here. What is it that is an indicator either way for you when you get a player out on the field?
Well, for some of these guys, they've watched NFL football their whole life. And, and now they have an opportunity to play in it. And they think they have to really become someone that they're not and go out there and when the game comes, they say, okay, now's my chance, and I've been watching this, and now I'm a part of it. And, you know, whether it's some nervousness or they're just excited, they can get out of their element a little bit. And some things that are routine, you know, you see them not become so routine anymore. And I think when they realize, you know what, it's just normal football. Obviously, the speed is faster, but what we ask them to do is something within their capabilities.
I remember the first couple games of my career. You know, we used to have these the smelling salts, and you'd have the stuff that was called Spark. It was you know, it was like 8 cups of coffee. And I learned quickly that, you know, early in my career, don't stay off the Spark, you know, and easy on the ammonia caps, because it just, you know, you got to just play the game.
Right. And, you know, things like that where you think, okay, now I have to take Spark, I guess is what it is. You know,
it's kind of like Tang.
Yeah, yeah. Some guys will think, you know, okay, now I have to do that to play at this level. And they really don't. They just have to catch the ball, run the ball, block, tackle. You know, it really comes back to that. And the faster we can get our guys to understand that, the better off we'll be.
All right, our phone number this evening, and we are opening the phone lines up during this commercial break, 800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351. If you're listening to our flagship station, WOKV, here in Jacksonville, you're listening to the Gus Bradley Show, and it's brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. And we're back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished, here on the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman. And Jeff, that comment about the quarterbacks that has been spread out across the web just has taken on a life of its own, hasn't it?
Well, and Gus, I just showed you this headline. And the headline at NFL.com, an article that was written by Dan Hansis, it reads the headline, Gus Bradley, and then semicolon, or I guess that was it, or colon. What is it, Rayman?
Oh, I'm not looking at it, but semicolon.
Two dots.
That's a colon.
Colon, okay. It says, I want Chad Henne to capture starting job.
Yeah.
welcome to the head coaching job in
right.
The NFL.
Yeah, I guess you got to be real careful how you state things. You know, I think it was asked, how do you want Chad to, with this situation, this opportunity happen? I said, I want him to capture this opportunity. I want him to go out there and be at his best. And, you know, we're pulling for him. The whole team and the whole organization. And it was simply said like that. But I guess it can take a life of its own.
I was going to say, even if you're careful in this day and age of citizen journalism, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all of that stuff, all it takes is one person to have enough people paying attention to him that no matter what you say, someone will find a way to mistake it. Hey, you know, speaking, Jed Fish talks to the media on Thursdays, and he was talking today about getting better with a lot of young guys. And we were talking in the last segment a little bit about Stephen Burton and Clay Harbor. And, I mean, these are guys that you need to step up and get better this week, don't you?
We sure do. And they will. You know, they were with us for 5 days or whatever it was the case before our first game. And, you know, we had extra meetings with them, teaching them the offense. And, you know, they'll get their opportunity this week. You can see out there in practice, there is some a higher level of comfort just as far as how to get lined
up. So 1 week makes that much difference?
Well, yeah. And, I mean, it's not like we've had them through training camp as well. So there'll be some mistakes. But, you know, I think they have a higher level of confidence.
I don't want to go to the new guys. I want to go to the guys who are here, the offensive line. I mean, hey, watch the film. I mean, quarterback's got to have a chance.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the responsibility of really all 11. And I know that's what we're quick to point to is the offensive line. But it's the receivers, you know, breaking the routes off the right depth, the quarterback making the right reads, the backs in protection. So it's all 11. And that's how we address it with our guys is that, you know, we have to operate as a unit.
But I want to give credit where some credit is due. That Kansas City defense, they are a good football team.
Yeah, they are a very good football team, and that's what I said to our team in the locker room. I said, you know, give credit where it's due. They're a good team, but still, you know, we have to play better than what we did. And, you know, it comes back to being on the details and having a good week of practice.
When you look at this and you watch the tape, and obviously, Coach, you lived it, up front, are these issues, are the breakdowns issues of communication, or are they, I mean, in other words, can you take a dramatic step forward this week? I mean, can 1 week make a big difference? Can you fix it with those guys?
Well, we should see improvement there, without a doubt. How much improvement is yet to be seen, but there is some communication. I think especially in the offensive line, getting a feel for the guy next to you and how he's going to do certain things and how he's going to play certain techniques that he's lined up against. I think that is a process, and you know, it just takes repetition.
Talk about your first pick of the draft, Luke Joeck, and how he did against Kansas City because he was going against a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, he, you know what? He I think he gave up a sack and a half or a sack, whatever was the case. But you know what? Luke is going to be a really good football player, really good. And you know what? I think you'll definitely see improvement from him as the season goes on. He's just that style of a player. Football is extremely, extremely important to him, and he's a perfectionist. And you know where he got the sack that he gave up? He tried to do too much. He got away from his technique. And again, he saw the speed out there and thought, all right, now I have to do this. And
do your job,
we don't
right?
teach that technique. And but that's what I'm talking about with some of these guys. They get away from what they've been taught.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. First call of the regular season, and we start with Matt, who's on the south side. Matt, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, good evening, head coach. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good. Thank you. Got a question. Based on the performance last week, what did you guys go over in practice, you know, to stop something like that happened last week, and how you guys are going to improve and make sure something doesn't happen like that again? You know, what went on in practice? What did you focus on?
Well, a lot of our focus was on the details. To execute properly, you have to get back to the details. And like we were talking earlier, with the communication, the number of repetitions, and really we narrowed our thought process down. Rather than doing maybe too much, we narrowed it down to really give our guys a direct focus on areas that we need to improve on and what we want to execute. And, you know, Matt, we talked about a culture of execution. Well, until we get that execution, we might have to pare down some things.
Hey, Rome wasn't built overnight, right?
No, it isn't, but we all have high expectations as well, and I'm with Matt on that. You know, we want it to be a fast process, but, you know, you can have patience, but let's not confuse patience with, you know, waiting too long. We need to execute better than what we did.
All right, appreciate the phone call from the south side of Jacksonville. Let's go a little further south. Listening down in Orlando on WHOO is Mike. Hello, Mike. You're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
So I'm a huge, actually, Seattle fan, which was really fun for me, Coach, to see you get this job. So now it kind of works out well for me to be able to be excited about Jacksonville. The question I have for you is really, you know, I wonder what it was like for you in your first game, you know, from being a coordinator in Seattle to now, you know, being the head coach and going against Andy Reid, who's been a head coach forever. What was it like for you, and what is the difference from going from the coordinator spot to the head coach's spot? And is there anything different in your routine that could you talk about players maybe thinking to do too much? From a head coach, now being a head coach, do you find yourself maybe falling into that trap as well? And just wondering what it was like for you. And like I said, great job, everything you did in Seattle, and I'm excited you're here.
Well, I appreciate those comments, Mike. You know what? It was different. You know, obviously, I'm meeting with our defensive staff quite a bit, and that side of the ball is something that you know, we have constant conversation. And then it comes to game time, and you realize your focus isn't solely on the defense, but the whole team. And I knew that going in. You know, the special teams and the offense and the defense and the game management plays such a big part of it. But I loved it. I really did. I thought it was an awesome experience. I think my focus was on really trying to give our team and our players the best opportunity to succeed. And I was excited for our players, and when it didn't come out the way we wanted it to, the final result, or even the opportunity to get better, I think you're disappointed and you feel bad for our players more than anything, because they are deserving, and it just makes you work that much harder the next week.
And a difference, you are wired in two different ways.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, everything you say as a head coach, you know, could be on the NFL Network or ESPN. So you have to take on that responsibility as well.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Your chance to visit with the head coach of the Jaguars here on the Gus Bradley Show. And we'll return with more with the head coach and Jeff Longman, plus you, here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along here with the head coach. Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. I'll get used to that. Brian Sexton, Jeff Longman, and Gus Bradley. And we're talking about the Jaguars and the Raiders this week.
And the Raiders have a quarterback who's young, inexperienced, but man, can he run, Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, he really can. Preseason, see a couple long runs. Indy extended the play. A couple third down opportunities, we extended those. So, yeah, you know, with him as a quarterback, your conversations aren't just how do we handle the run and the play passes and the drop back, but also his ability to extend the play.
Which extend the play, a lot of people may not understand that term. That is what Ben Roethlisberger has been doing for his whole career, buying time in the pocket to throw the ball down the field.
Right, and the difference is now he scrambles out of the pocket, buys time, but he can also run. And, you know, he had over 100 yards rushing last week. I think they're number one in the league in rushing with 170 yards, and he had 115 or 120 yards.
112. It's a franchise record for the Raiders.
Yeah, so, you know.
For quarterback.
Yeah, and the tailback's not too bad either, McFadden. And so, you know, you get threats like that back there, you have to be really well aware of it.
And you wonder if that thought is in his mind, because the Raiders have had some issues with the offensive line. Their left tackle's been their main starter,
Jared Velde,
on designated injured reserve, and then Menelik Watson, a rookie, had a knee scope, and so then he moved Khalif Barnes to the left side. They signed Tony Pashos, and as a quarterback, that's got to be running through your mind.
It is, but you know what? Sometimes your rush has to change now because they can't just tee off and get upfield because they're opening up run lanes for the quarterback. So it probably helps the offensive line that he is that athletic. Compared to if they had Matt Flynn back there.
He's a really big guy, too. I mean, he's almost 6'6 and 240 pounds. There was that stiff arm in the ball game in Indianapolis last week. Where, I mean, you not only have to be, what's the right term? You have to be smart in your rush.
Be aware.
Be aware in your rush.
Rush lane awareness.
Yeah, you better hit him, and you better hit him low and take him down at the waist.
Right, and this is probably good for the audience, too. Each week we talk about having a tackling plan on the running backs, the tight ends, the receivers, and now the quarterback. And which means that when he gets in the open field, well, how are you going to get him down? And if you try to go high on him, you're probably not going to be as successful as if you had a different approach.
No, I know what the game plan should be on a quarterback. When he's running.
Yeah.
But he's deceptive. And I'm going to bring back probably an old Seattle Seahawks player that you may remember the name, Chris Warren.
Yeah.
Was running back at the Seahawks, and I played with Chris in college, and me and him went to the University of Virginia together as freshmen. And when we used to watch him run in practice, which his first year at Virginia, he was a cornerback because we had plenty of running backs. Just a crazy story there. But anyway, when he ran, he didn't look fast because he was a long strider. Then the coaches finally just thought he was loafing, and they put a clock on him. They were like, oh, my, he's covering a lot of ground. That's kind of what
right.
That quarterback does.
Yeah, he does. He changes the angles. You know, in the Chicago preseason game, like I said earlier, he ran one for 45 yards, 40 yards, something like that. And three players thought they had the right angle, and, you know, he ended up in the end zone. So, yeah, his speed is deceptive, especially when you watch it on tape. But when you see guys take poor angles, it kind of changes our perspective.
Now, does he look to throw on the run? I mean, he's a young quarterback. He's only started two games. Has he gotten to that point?
Well, they're a traditional team where they run bootlegs and, you know, where they roll them out and get them out of the pocket. And he does a nice job hitting crossers and comebacks and things like that. But it's that added threat of his ability to run that, you know, if he sees that everybody's covered and people have their backs turned towards him, that's where he takes off and can get yards.
They also run that formation, which you see a lot of Kaepernick run, where The quarterback is in shotgun. The back's behind him. What do they call that? Pistol formation?
Yeah,
they run the
pistol?
Okay. Yep. And they run a lot of that.
They do. You know what? And believe it or not, we watched the San Francisco game against Green Bay. Just because a lot of these coordinators, they'll try to check out the league and see what's taking place. And a team like San Francisco that has success, we may see one of their two plays show up this week. So our players are on it, and now it just comes back to executing.
I know you'll be reading all the clips from the Bay Area on the way out to San Francisco. I don't know if you've gotten to them yet.
But have plenty of time to do that.
Yeah, plenty of time on the plane right out. I don't know if you've got to them yet, but in the papers this morning out in the Bay Area, the question is, what's the matter with Darren McFadden? You know, because he only averaged 2.8 per carry. Of course, when you got a quarterback running for 112 yards, it's tough for anyone else to not find the room. Thoughts on Darren?
Yeah, well, what happened is, what I believe is, you see different fronts in football. And Indianapolis went in there with a front that was designed to try to limit, you know, the yards for McFadden. And because of that, they opened up some run lanes for the quarterback. And so now, as you look at it, it's like, okay, pick your poison. You know, who are you going to take care of? What responsibilities? So you got to find that happy medium where you take care of, obviously, McFadden, but also cannot let him extend the play.
Remember that game here in 2010? I mean, people think of him as a runner. He had 123 that day, and he had a 51-yard touchdown run. But he also had 67-yard touchdown reception, too. I mean, this guy is a gifted athlete.
Very good. We would call him or classify him as a crease runner. When he hits that crease, he has the ability to hit it and go, and tremendous speed. And just like last week, I thought we did a pretty good job with Charles as versus the run game. I know he had 70 yards and he had an explosive run, but for the most part, we went in there trying to protect our edges and keep him in the confines of the defense. And that similar mindset will take place this week.
All right, more to come with the head coach. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, here we are with the head coach in the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Brian Sexton, along with Jeff Loggeman and head coach Gus Bradley. You're welcome to join us this evening, 355-NFL-1 for those of you in Jacksonville, 800-355-6351 for those of you listening across the network or on the internet. You take your team out to the West Coast tomorrow to get ready for the Raiders, and then you're staying out there all next week to get ready for the Seahawks. Tell us a little bit about the decision to take such a big move all the way out to the West Coast for 10 days.
Well, when the schedule came out and we saw that we had Oakland and Seattle back-to-back, Dave and I talked about it. We made some phone calls and talked to others. You've seen it in the past. San Francisco went out, played in Cleveland, I believe. They stayed at Youngstown, and then they played the Giants, or the Jets, I believe it was last year. So you're seeing some teams, when they have back-to-back trips like that, do that. And we just felt like it'd be good for our team to go out there and not come back to Jacksonville, turn around, fly back out there, take that long trip. And as far as, just team camaraderie and being out there at the same place. And we're going to have something like that when we go to London. And, we just thought we would, best utilize our time.
The plane is going to be big, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's good
size. Because he's got to carry a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, carrying the equipment. I mean, the video, the equipment, the ability to practice all week long, the coaching materials that you guys use now with computers and laptops and all that. Obviously, Mike Perkins is, their room, they've been busy all week. I mean, that's a lot of stuff.
It is. And, as coaches, we're creatures of habit as well as the players. So we're anticipating going there and having our same setup that we do here and our same routine. And there's going to be some adjusting that takes place. But, I think overall it's going to be really good for us.
All right, it's a long flight out there. Did we got some good movies picked out? Maybe Hoosiers?
That's right. Hoosiers is right. You're in charge of that, Jeff.
I don't know if you want me in charge of that.
Do you, when you look at this now, the whole week next week, do you try to stay to the same schedule you've got? Or how does the time change and the adjustment to being 3 hours behind your normal schedule affect you out there? Do you stay on East Coast time? Or?
Yeah, you know what? It'll probably take a day, and that's why we're going out there Friday. And, we'll try to stay as close to a routine. I think Hamza, our director of travel, has done a great job setting it up. It might be 15, 20 minutes off from what we do currently. And to be able to take everything out there and get a trip set up like that It's an incredible job. And, you know, I think our players will appreciate it.
The goal for priority number one when you travel like that, though, is to try to make it as normal as possible, isn't it?
It is. I think so. You know, our players will adjust, and we'll all adjust as coaches as well. But there's going to be a lot of benefits, I think, that will take place because of it. Primarily staying out there, and then we'll fly into Seattle on Saturday. And, you know, it'll be a good trip for us.
Do you were in Seattle for 4 years, and I think it's fair to say Seattle has the absolute most difficult travel schedule because they're so far up there in the Pacific Northwest. Do you model any of your travel to the West Coast this time after Seattle and the way that they would come out? I mean, did you learn anything there that you can use?
You know what? We did extensive research because we found out when we did travel across time zones, we didn't fare too well. So we dove into the types of food we ate, how we hydrated, and when we should change. Should we be on East Coast time, West Coast time? I mean, we dug into it all. And we found out that when we got better as a team, it wasn't as much of an issue.
Isn't that something?
Amazing how it works. Yeah. All of that for that.
So, you know what? But it is. You know, I think it's, and part of that, I think, is the player's mentality. And as coaches, we go out there and we have the mentality that we'll go anywhere, any place for the opportunity to compete. And that's really what our players, we want them to have that same mentality.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show here on a Thursday evening on Jaguars Radio. More of the Gus Bradley Show now, live here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach, Gus Bradley. You can join us 800-355-NFL1. You know, the Raiders' defense is new this year, literally. Nine,
just a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm just looking here now. Look at this. A corner acquired from Denver in free agency, a linebacker from Miami, a defensive tackle from Atlanta, one from Cincinnati, a defensive end from Denver, a linebacker from Chicago. Another corner from Dallas. You get the point. Nine new starters from a season ago, Jeff.
Yeah, but the one guy that stands out that was there last year who was actually the AFC Defensive Player of the Week in the game against the Jaguars, Lamar Houston, number 99, Gus. He looks like a very good player.
Yeah, he is. Very active in the defensive front. And I can remember when Lamar came out and you saw his ability. And now he's slimmed down, lost some weight. And it's really benefited him.
And the one guy that I think everybody knows has made his return to the Oakland Raiders, Al Davis' Oakland Raiders, Charles Woodson, the old man that's playing safety for them.
Yeah, you know, obviously, we all know about Charles and his career, big-time playmaker. And really, defensively, they do have a lot of new players. But to their credit, Nick Roach is a proven starter, played quite a bit for Chicago and starred in some games. Tracy Porter, we all know him from the Super Bowl, very talented
big
player.
Peyton Manning.
Mike Jenkins is a guy that we looked at with free agency. So they have some guys that have five, six, seven years of experience that they picked up to build that defense. So they're true pros. They understand the game. And now it's just a matter of meshing them together. And, you know, I give him credit. You see him playing hard on tape.
Do you really appreciate a guy like Charles Woodson? I mean, 16th year, 55 career interceptions. How many for touchdowns, Brian? 11?
He's got 11 for touchdowns.
I mean, the guy's just ageless. He's like George Foreman.
He is. And you know what? I think the best thing about a guy like that is he knows the standard. And he knows the level of expectations and what's good football and what it should look like. And I think he passes that on to everybody else, and they perform at that level.
Hey, there's a good story on this defense, too, and I don't know how much you looked at him in the draft, but DJ Hayden, their overall first-round draft choice, I think 12th overall is where he went. Here's a guy that in practice last year tore the interior vena cava in his heart, had to be rushed into surgery. That is an injury that I'm told is 95% fatal. And here he is playing in the National Football League less than a year later.
Well, on top of that, when that injury took place, Dave Caldwell was there watching him in practice.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and he was a guy that we brought in, really spirited guy. I mean, obviously, to come back from that injury and play in the NFL. And, you know, very, very talented individual.
You know who the guy that I really liked that he really hadn't shown up much up on film? Have you seen number 58 for their defense? He plays defensive end. Got a name, I didn't know he played football for the Oakland Raiders. Ryan Robinson.
6'4", 255.
If it's the guy we're thinking, I hope he is.
Yeah, somehow.
He's in PR here for the Jaguars. Yeah. I was doing the chart, and I said, Ryan Robinson, number 58, isn't that something?
You know what? If I was a betting man, they'll probably slant him a lot.
I thought he was more of a nose tackle. I didn't think he'd be a right defensive end.
Utilize his quickness.
All right, we're due for another break. We'll take it now and come back with more with the head coach. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Brian Sexton, along with Gus Bradley and Jeff Loggam, and Tony Boselli sticking his head in the door, getting ready for Jaguars Thursday, which follows for all of you here in Jacksonville. But for now, we're across the network talking with the head coach. We're talking about special teams now and getting ready. You brought in 7 new guys on cutdown day to improve special teams. Sure looked like that worked last week.
Yeah, with getting the block punt initially to start the game. You know what? Special teams, you have a chance to come in and play quicker and have more of an impact on a game. There's still some coaching. They got to understand scheme, and they should be better this week. But it was cool to see, you know, those guys go out there and perform the way they did. Some had a block punt, JT did, and then there's some tackles made. Clay did a nice job on special teams. So, you know, that was the added bonus of getting those guys in.
I thought the guy that really stood out, though, was a guy that I mentioned to you, Brian, that I want to see him play better on special teams. Safety Josh Evans. I thought he had an outstanding game.
Great job. That's a great catch because he was a guy that we challenged. I think he came in with the mindset it was all defense when he first got here, and he really locked into going after that free safety spot and to make the team there and compete there. And that was our challenge to him, was that the more that you can do and, you know, really take pride in special teams. 3 tackles, a game-saving one, or, you know, a touchdown-saving one, I should say, on the punt return. So, I mean, you can see those guys now. They're starting – I mean, I don't even think our guys knew JT's last name, you know, when he blocked the punt.
We had to look at the number.
You know, and
– look at our sheet.
But now they do. And, you know, it just takes some time.
But what I liked about Josh was because when you watched him play defense, he has a great knack for the open field play. And in special teams, that's the majority of the style that you have to play.
You really have to be able to operate in space. That's the one key factor. When you look at free agencies or tape across the league, when you're looking for special teams players, they've got to be able to operate in space. And he illustrated that in the game.
All right, so you got a new snapper in last week's game, Carson Tinker. How'd he do?
He did good. You know what? We are efficient. We, you know what, as far as the snaps and things like that, the coverage concepts, he'll keep getting better on those. And you know what? It's not just snap the ball. We also expect him to go down there and at least funnel him or direct the returner to one side or the other.
Now, for the Raiders, they have a return man back that 2 years ago looked like he was on his way to being a star in Jacoby Ford. He has 4 kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Yeah, very fast, extremely fast. So much so, Brian, that when you watch him on offense, he'll get into certain alignments and certain positions, and he's out there for a reason. And they're trying to get him the ball. You'll see him on bubble screens, reverses, things like that to try to utilize his speed. And it shows up on special teams.
Could you pass some of them tips along to me to help my broadcast a little bit? Those alignments.
Well, they're not always 100% accurate.
You know, the other thing is you've got a kicker with one of the biggest legs in the National Football League in Janikowski. He's kicked a 63-yarder to win a ball game. Tried a 64 last year when the Jaguars were out there and just barely missed it. How does that impact the way that you strategize?
Well, it does, because if the offense moves the ball and they get across the 50, you know, your calls are starting to change a little bit as far as how aggressive you want to be, especially on third down.
Right.
Or let's say it's third and 12 on the 40-yard line going in. It might have a different philosophy than third and 12 if it's backed up. Well, it has to change now. And you know, now all of a sudden you have to start thinking about that at the 50-yard line because he has that type of talent. So, it redirects you with the lines of thought a little bit. You just have to move some of the ideas as far as your philosophy based on the field.
It's different, though, watching him kick. We're talking about Janikowski. Oh, yeah. with not having Shane Lechler making the hold.
Yeah.
He's got a new holder, and he missed a field goal last week.
That's right. It is always an adjustment. I mean, look at it with us, just a long snapper. With Carson being on our team, you know, it was important for us to make that decision as early as possible, just for Josh and for Brian, so they have their timing down. It's that critical.
355 NFL 1, we take a break. Final of the evening, come back and wrap up the program, get you ready for the Jaguars and Raiders, which Sunday is a late kickoff. We'll have all that for you when we return here on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Back to wrap things up. Jaguars and Raiders, it's a 4:25 kickoff from the O.co Coliseum.
Never figured out what that
is. Yeah, it's Overstock.com, I think, is what it is, but O.co is what they're calling it. 4:25 kickoff. That means we start, for those of you here in Jacksonville, with the Public's Tailgate Show at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, and then 3 o'clock we pick up those of you on the network with Jaguars pregame, and of course, kickoff comes at 4:25. Okay, your football team was jacked up to play on opening day. The outcome, obviously, not what they wanted. Get back into it. What did Jed Fish called earlier today? Tell the truth Monday,
yeah.
Right? And then work your way back out onto the practice field and go. So tell us now, you know, a couple of days on the practice field. Day off in the middle of that all. How's your team?
They're doing good. They're doing really well. I can remember my first, I think it was my first year as a linebacker coach, coaching at Tampa Bay. We lost a game. It was our first game, I believe. And I came in the meeting room and a little bit down, and you know, it was gray outside and one of those days. And Derek Brooks came up to me and said, "What's the matter with you, Gus?" And I said, "You know, we just lost this game, and you know, you're almost like a fan where it wears on you." And he said, "Hey, listen, this is a long season now, and a lot of things can happen during this season, and we need you to be at your highest." And it was so true. And I've learned a lot from that situation, and that's really the situation now. We lost a game. It's unfortunate, but we understand there's a lot of football left to be played. And our guys really bounced back. They did a nice job. You could tell it hurt them. It bothered them. But when we came back, and to tell the truth, Monday, after that day, they responded, and we had a great week.
It's kind of easier to coach after a game like that at times, isn't it? Because
well,
typically a team is very receptive to it.
Well, yeah, and I think what our team is, they just want to know. They know what happened, but when they watch the tape and they can see that it's areas that we can get corrected and we can improve on, and I think they look at that and they say, all right, let's go get those things corrected, and then let's go on to Oakland.
I want to go back to Derek Brooks for a minute because, you know, you reference him quite a bit.
Yeah.
Know, at different moments, and, you know, he's first time being on the Hall of Fame ballot here that just was released. And talk about him and what he meant to you.
Well, you know what? That's what makes coaching so special, I think, is that you coach players, but you develop a relationship. And I would consider him a really, really good friend. And it's odd, isn't it? I mean, here you are, a coach, he's a player, but yet he's a good friend. But that's what the NFL is all about. And that's why I'm so excited about our guys. We have a really, really good locker room. We have some really, really good people on our team and some very good players. And I really have gravitated towards them and to build that relationship. And who knows, out of this group, there's going to be guys that I have that same style of relationship with. And I think that's what it's all about.
You know, you touched on the fact earlier that going out and spending the whole week out there in Oakland gives you a chance to build a little team camaraderie. It's pretty important, isn't it? And you can get a lot done in a week out there.
Oh, you can. You can. And we've got special people. And I think when you spend that much time, you realize everything about them. And, you know, there's guys tick differently now. And, you know, you find out more and more about them. And you find out maybe different ways that you can motivate them or help them along through this process.
All right. And that'll do it. Coach, thanks so much. Best of luck in Oakland this weekend.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you next week out from Oakland here on the Gus Bradley Show. For those of you in Jacksonville, stay tuned, folks, right here from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday. Have a great night.